Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. Thank you to everyone who checked in and joined us last week for worship. If you are worshiping with us today, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you found us on Facebook this morning, the check-in link is in the comments. During this time, our offerings will be collected in two ways. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us today. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gather to greet you dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city.
Grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life.
Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
When the crowd was greeting Jesus, the people were quoting a verse from Psalm 118, which Luther said was his favorite verse. Verse 25 begins, "Save us, we pray, O Lord." Save, Lord, is the meaning of Hosanna. Let us now join our voices to the crowds using the same psalm. Hosanna.
Hosanna. Save us, we pray, O Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me
and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna!
Hosanna! Save us, we pray, O Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord is God, and He has made His light to shine upon us.
Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
For His steadfast love endures forever.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Save us, we pray, O Lord.
We cannot come closer to God as we are. It is only through the gracious forgiveness Christ won for us that we are considered righteous under God's law. Let us confess our sins, pleading, Lord, have mercy and save us, O Lord. Let's take a moment for silence of reflection on God's word and our sinful condition. Father in heaven, David, thank you for answering him and becoming his salvation.
Your Son humbled himself and became a human being to die in our place. But we confess that in our disobedience we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. Lord, have mercy.
He was obedient to death and took our sins with him to the cross. You have exalted him that every knee should bow.
We confess that without your help, we are bound to continue in sin as your rebellious children. Hosanna, save us, O Lord.
For Jesus' sake, our gracious God has given us his Son's own righteousness. The stone the builders rejected has become our salvation. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross.
Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection.
Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Old Testament lesson comes to us today from 1 Kings chapter 1, beginning in verse 32. King David called, "Call in Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." When they came before the king, he said to them, "Take your Lord's servants with you, and have Solomon my son mount my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow the trumpet and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen! May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, so declare it. As the Lord was with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon to make his throne even greater than the throne of my lord King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon mount King David's mule, and they escorted him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon. Then they sounded the trumpet, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, playing pipes and rejoicing greatly, so that the ground shook with the sound. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament lesson comes to us today from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12. We read responsively. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting,
"Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel."
Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written,
"Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt."
At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they heard it, that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another,
"See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
This is the gospel of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Welcome to Palm Sunday. Jesus was wanted for arrest, but I don't know if you actually knew that there was an arrest warrant out for Jesus. Dr. Paul Meyer, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor, good friend of mine, wrote a book called Pontius Pilate. And he wrote this in 1968. Dr. Meyer is also, if you will, an archaeologist. And so he has done a lot of investigation. And this was the arrest warrant. I quote, "Yeshua Hanashri, or Jesus the Nazarene, he shall be stoned because he practiced sorcery and enticed Israel to apostasy." I continue on with the quote, "Anyone who can say anything in his favor, let him come forward and plead on his behalf. Anyone who knows where he is, let him declare it to the great Sanhedrin in Jerusalem." As I said, Dr. Meyer published this book in 1968. I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Meyer in 1967 when I attended Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where Dr. Meyer was a professor teaching history. Wanted for arrest, but the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it that they might arrest him. John chapter 11, verse 57 confirms what Dr. Meyer has found out. There was a lot of political intrigue going on between the religious leaders of the Jews and the public ministry of Jesus and his message and his healings. Jesus was a real threat, if you will, to the religious leaders and to the temple itself. Jesus preached a faith that was not intellectual, that any commoner could understand. Even in the day of Martin Luther, his students were stunned that a common, uneducated person could have faith. You may remember that what Martin Luther discovered in the Gospel of Romans, chapter 1, and I quote, "For in the Gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith," which is a quote from the Old Testament, from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. Interesting. The students of Martin Luther were horrified that a commoner who was uneducated could have faith, and so too in the religious day of Jesus. Faith came through knowledge. Faith came through obedience. Faith came through works righteousness. But Jesus preached the gospel is that by his righteousness, we have been made whole by his death on the cross. All who believe in him are children of God. It's not about how much you know, but it's about the one that you know. So something had to be done to Jesus. The pressure was too great to let him go on. So the Holy Spirit spoke through the high priest about what would be done with Jesus. From John 11, verse 50, the prophecy of the high priest. "So do you not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than for the whole nation to perish?" Jesus was a threat to the temple and the temple bureaucracy, and the raising of Lazarus as a threat to the temple bureaucracy as well. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and so he became even more of a threat to the Jewish leaders because they could not deny that Jesus was alive. They could not deny that Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. They could not deny that Lazarus had been buried. And Jews were very good at telling if a person was dead or not because they would take a feather of a bird and place it under the nostrils. And if the feather did not move because of breath, that person was considered dead. Well, Lazarus was a threat too, as is recorded in John chapter 12. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For an account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. And the Passover was coming. And now it was almost time for Passover to be there. So the people wondered if Jesus would come because of the arrest warrant that had been posted for him. It reads in John 11, 55 and 56, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing for the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus as they stood in the temple courts, and they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" So the people wondered about the arrest warrant. They needed no longer wonder because Jesus was very brazen as he comes into Jerusalem, riding on a mule as a kingly beast. Kings in David's time rode on mules. And Solomon was anointed as he rode on David's mule into the city of Gihon. He was anointed by Nathan and Zadok the priest. So something like a coronation of a king was about to happen in Jerusalem as Jesus rode in. Jesus understood the significance, and so did the religious leaders, as the crowds announced him and his triumphal entry. The triumphal entry is recorded in John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And palm branches are significant because they signify victory. Jesus rides in as the victory king to save God's people. In John chapter 12, 15, it says, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." The public entry, as I said, was brazen with the surrounding circumstances of a wanted poster for his arrest. The religious leadership was pushed to the only decision that they could make to preserve their authority and their way of life. The temple must be protected at all costs from the Romans who would come in and destroy it. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." For the Pharisees, the whole world is what they understood. Their world of accomplishment, their world of control. And Jesus threatened their entire world. So Jesus is not only in their face as he rides in, but he's also in the face as he cleanses the temple just as well. Jesus has pushed them too far. Jesus cleanses the temple. Jesus enters the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Not only does Jesus ride in as a king, but he upsets the pace and the worship and the sacrifices at the temple itself. Jesus literally shuts down the temple sacrifices, with the money at the tables being overturned, the sacrifices being stopped. Who would have this audacity to do such a thing? This Jesus must be stopped. Jesus threatened their existence as a religious establishment. Jesus rides in with great fanfare, but Jesus is not finished. Jesus spoke seven woes to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the law on Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. So the seven woes are recorded in Matthew chapter 23 against the Jewish leadership. The first woe: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Second woe: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make him twice as much a child of hell as you are. And all these woes are done in public for all the people to hear. Woe to you, blind guides, you say. If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold in the temple, is bound by the oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? Woe number four: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And woe number five: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Woe number six: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. And woe number seven: woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. So what do you think the religious leaders would do with those seven woes in public with all of the other people listening? Well, you have to realize that these woes also reply to you and me as well. There are times when you and I have shut the kingdom of heaven to others when we did not witness Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our oath of allegiance to Jesus means nothing at times when we even deny that we even know him, because we do not speak up as a believer in Jesus. We neglect justice, mercy, and faithfulness on how we relate to the poor and families that we know. We are like whitewashed tombs when we play the hypocrite, that we pretend to be people better than we are. We build a church building and live like we are not the church outside of the church building. You see, our sins are not unlike the scribes and the Pharisees, because we are hypocrites just as well. But by God's grace, we have been called by the Holy Spirit to believe in the righteous one, Jesus the Christ. So spreading the word, that's what's important. In John chapter 12, verse 17, it says, "Now the crowd was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word." The crowd spread the word, and we too are spreading the word of God. It's been over 100 years since a pandemic took the extreme measure of what we call social distancing today. 1917 and 1918, our country practiced a quarantine to save the lives of as many as possible. Today, our mission is similar: saving lives. Not only saving physical lives, but saving spiritual lives as well. As Christians, we save not only physical lives, but the spiritual lives of those whom God has given us. We share the Word of God in season and out of season, and right now we are in season. We are praying for our country, we are praying for our world, we are praying for our community, we are praying for our church, that we are the beacon of hope in a very hard, difficult time in our lives. Pray that God will heal the sick. Pray that God will protect others from illness. Pray that God will give our leaders the wisdom they need to protect us and bring us back into society that loves one another. Pray that the global church will be effective in sharing the ministry of Jesus, because we are no longer in the building. We are in our community as lights and beacons of hope. May Jesus ride into your life this day. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, may He bless us and keep us safe as we share that message of hope. Jesus is Lord. And all God's children say, Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We now gather our offerings. And as you know, this is a different kind of a time to give our offerings. Some of you will be mailing them in. Thank you for that. Others of you will be sending them in some way digitally. Thank you as well. As you know, Peace Church has long existed in Hearst to be that beacon of hope and that light of Jesus Christ to our community. With your gifts, we continue on with the legacy that has so well been laid. Thank you for your gifts in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And in this uncertain time, we have a certain Savior. His name is Jesus. He is the same yesterday, tomorrow, today, and forever. Help us, Lord, to trust in Jesus and Him alone. He gave us this promise, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." We are not alone. Do not trust in your feelings. Trust in your faith. And faith is much more than a feeling. It's a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't feel Him near, but His promise is that He is near you, that He will be found. We pray, most precious Heavenly Father, increase our faith. Help us, Lord, through this time of difficulty. We pray for our first responders, We pray for our leaders. We pray for the church throughout the world. We pray, Lord, is that as you have called us to go out into our community, you have moved us from our building into our community. We pray, Lord, is that we are faithful servants, sharing the good and great news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessings. May we continue to grow in your grace each and every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings we have today. Thank you for our community. Thank you for our members here at Peace Lutheran. But we also pray, Lord, for the church throughout the United States. We are in uncertain times, but we have a certain Savior. His name is Jesus. Help us as church leaders to have faith. To have faith that says, Lord, you're in control, we're not. Help us, Lord, to follow Jesus in the footsteps of the cross, trusting in him and trusting in him alone. Take care of the membership here at Peace. Help us, Lord, to be your servants. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you. The Lord look upon you with his guidance and his peace and give you mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.